So we are in the middle of a world where American Eagle is using a beautiful woman to share clothing, and there's this controversy around it. And here we have, maybe you could say, like a real American Eagle. You're American and you fly with Our Lady, but you're using a much more beautiful woman to sell to us even better clothing than jeans. And kind of like in that context, in that world that we live in, Cameron, share with us some of your favorite rosary stories, how it's impacted and saved you, your channel, and your family, and any other things that I think the Lord puts on your heart. I kind of want to give you just a space to bring people into loving the rosary more. And if you already love the rosary, to give people stories to share with those that don't.
Yeah, absolutely. The rosary in my own spiritual life has been absolutely instrumental. And I've shared this on my channel, but for several years, from early high school until college, I was not living according to the church's teachings, really not even trying, to be honest. I would go to Mass on Sundays, but that was the extent of my faith. That was all the effort that I was willing to put into it. And I started dating this Protestant woman, and through our conversations discussing our faiths and where they differed, I ended up falling radically in love with Jesus Christ, starting with this sort of intellectual formation, learning that there's this rich, deep philosophical tradition within the Catholic Church. I had no idea that existed. I didn't know who St. Augustine was, really, until I got to college and started to read the Confessions, the Catechism, the Bible, all of these things, just pouring this information into my mind. And the one thing that was a real sticking point between this Protestant woman who I was dating and myself was the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so I focused a lot of my apologetic attention right there at the beginning. And that was really an act of God's grace, I think, even though this woman was not intending to drive me into the Catholic Church. Her intention seemed to be quite the opposite. She, through her argumentation, through these conversations we were having, opened the door to me to what a gift to all of Christianity our mother is, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so I started to realize what the fathers said, what the catechism said, what the church taught about the intercession of Our Lady and how immensely powerful it is. And so I said, okay, I got to give this a shot. I started to pray the rosary, and I started just praying 5 decades a day because that's what I thought you were supposed to do. And that's not a bad thing, not a bad thing at all. And I noticed that my vices started to just dry up and evaporate. And this is the key part, right? It's not just that I stopped doing the things that I ought not do. It's that my desires were purified in such a way that I didn't want to do those things anymore, at least not on a regular basis. Obviously, temptations arise from time to time. That's just part of being a Christian. That's just part of being a human, really. But I noticed that my desires started to change and my heart was transformed in such a way that I actually desired to fast. I desired to pray. I desired to go to Mass on the weekday. I desired to read the Bible. And it was just a beautiful transformation that for me happened incredibly quickly, right? It wasn't a St. Paul moment where I saw the light, Jesus appeared to me, I was blinded and I fell off my horse and then all of a sudden I was a saint. No, that's not what happened. But I noticed that in an incredibly abbreviated amount of time, who I was and the things that I loved were transformed in the holy name of Jesus by his mother. So to start with, I think that anybody who is honestly wanting to be a good and authentic Christian, honestly wanting to be a man, a husband, a father who your wife and children can one day look up to, I think the rosary is absolutely indispensable, or at the very least, it's the quickest and easiest way to conquer your vices and to start becoming a saint. So that would be the first thing that I would say is if somebody's watching this, you're just not where you want to be spiritually, or not where you want to be just in your virtue, you're just kind of a crummy person, you know it. The quickest and easiest way to transform the desires of your heart, in my opinion, and through my own experience, is with the Holy Rosary. So that would be the first thing that I would say.
Yeah. And I think the amazing part of that is the desire part, because otherwise we just see them as commandments in the most negative sense of the word. It's things that we're supposed to do. But it's so much more joy-filled when your heart wants to do the good. And I think that's the beauty of our faith, that it's not just a set of rules, but it's grace that makes you want to go beyond the rules, not just follow the rules, but to go even far beyond them. I think that part people should really think about that, that's the beauty of our faith, to be given that grace.
Yeah. And Christianity, the heart of it, is not about following rules. It's about following Christ ultimately. And Mary, the good mother, she teaches us how to walk so that we can follow in his footsteps. She is our pedagogue in a very real way, holds our hands, teaches us how to walk, and she raises us from spiritual infants into the men that we're supposed to be ultimately.
So what are some powerful stories that you've encountered as you've grown in your praying of the rosary? I'm sure you wanted to learn about them to share on your channel. What are some of the ones that maybe stick to mind where you maybe see the rosary and some of its greatest power?
Yeah, so a story that I share often on my own channel is my wife and I only dated for 6 weeks before we got engaged. And Maybe that's not a perfect strategy for everybody, but it certainly worked for us. My wife and I have a just tremendous, tremendous marriage. I love my wife to death, and I love my marriage to death. I think that's just one of the greatest blessings that our Lord has given to me, is a really beautiful marriage through no fault of my own, I might add. But the reason that my wife and I were able to get engaged and discern marriage so quickly is because of a couple things. One is that I had already been in seminary, so I was willing to offer that sacrifice of having a wife and family to the Lord. I was willing to do that if that's what the Lord wanted, but he made it blatantly obvious very quickly that was not what he had planned for me. I was only in seminary for one semester before I discerned out. I didn't even make it a full year. I was ready and willing to make that sacrifice, but with the help of my spiritual director through prayer, it became very obvious that wasn't what the Lord actually had intended for me. So I knew that I was called to marriage, which just simplifies things a lot. It's one thing to figure out, okay, who am I supposed to marry? It's a much more difficult thing to figure out, am I supposed to marry? And if so, who? So I'd already made that interior sacrifice. I had that willingness to give that part of myself to the Lord if he wanted it. And he said, thank you for your application, but we're going a different direction. And my wife has a perhaps less extreme story in certain ways, but she knew from the age of 5 or 6 years old that she wanted to be married. She knew that very, very clearly from a very young age. She said she had like 2 hours once where she thought about being a nun. And then she said, no, that ain't it. So she knew at a very young age that she wanted to be married. And as a lot of women experience, as they go through their early 20s, they go through college, they start to see their friends getting into long-term relationships and maybe getting married. There's this longing on a woman's heart to be married. And so she got to 23 years old, 24 years old, and just had this desire on her heart. And several times she had to just go into a chapel before the Blessed Sacrament and just basically weep and say, Lord, you know what I want. The deepest desire on my heart in this world is for a husband and for children. That's what I want. But Lord, I want what you want more than I want what I want. And I'm willing to sacrifice this to you if that be your will. She has had such a longing on her heart for marriage. And actually, she'd been praying for me since she was 5 years old. She didn't know she was praying for me specifically, but she'd been praying for her future husband since she was 5 years old. And a few of the things that she prayed for, and this is proof of God's providence here, a few of the things that she prayed for are just blatantly obvious in me. So for example, she prayed that whoever she married would have an excellent relationship with their mother. I've always been best friends with my mom. My mom is just fantastic. She's a wonderful woman. She prayed that whoever she married would be somebody who was able to teach her the faith, have a faith that matched and surpassed her own, are her exact words. And I was literally teaching Catholic theology at a high school before I got married to her. So there, that prayer was also answered. And there's a couple other smaller things that she was praying for that were quite obviously found in me that were little nuances. It was just a nice touch by God to throw that in. But Once we met and we started dating, one of the promises of the rosary, if you don't know what they are, I'm not going to go through all 15 of them for you, but if you don't know what they are, you should look them up. If you need an incentive to start praying the rosary, look up the 15 promises of the rosary, because several of them have just rung so true in my own life. They're demonstrably true, and this is one of the cases. So one of the promises of the rosary is a signal grace. Mary promises that if you pray the rosary daily, you'll receive signal graces. So what is a signal grace? A signal grace is where God will reveal his will for your life to you, either through an exterior sign or an interior conviction. So an exterior sign, you hear sometimes about the St. Therese novena, where people will pray a novena to St. Therese, and she will send a flower, like a white flower if you're supposed to do this thing, and a red flower if you're supposed to do this thing. I've never personally done the novena, but I know people who have. That is an example of a signal grace. It's where you are praying and asking God for an indication, what do you want me to do with my life? And then he gives it through a signal grace. So the rosary is a special and especially effective way that you can receive these signal graces. So as I was dating my wife, we started to date in August. I don't remember the exact date. And we got engaged on October 7th because it's the feast day of the rosary. And I wanted to get engaged on that day specifically. But as we were dating, I was praying the rosary daily and I was encouraging her to do the same. She was not praying the rosary daily at that point, but I was trying to get her on board and she was cooperating very well. And after 6 weeks of being together, it just became unimaginable that anybody else would raise my children. It became unimaginable that anybody else would be the woman who I was going to marry and who I was supposed to be with. So certainly that was a signal grace. It was quite obvious to me, blatantly obvious to me, that this was indeed the woman that I was supposed to marry. So we got married, we got engaged on October 7th. It was really simple. No pictures of it exist. But what happened was we went to confession. We went to Mass at St. Timothy Church in Arizona. Uh-huh. And after adoration, we went outside the chapel. I got on my knee and proposed. She said yes. And then we went back in and prayed and asked God to bless our future marriage. And then we went home. It was beautiful. But that's one example, certainly, where one of the promises of the rosary has paid off for me in a big way.
That's amazing. You know, it's funny, like, because I'll read a lot and I'll do all these things, but the definition of a signal grace is one of those that, for whatever the reason, I haven't gone into studying what that was, even though the name is obvious once you understand it, where you can receive graces as signs, yeah, exterior or interior. And I know that people, they're not just discerning for marriage or for priesthood, but also for other things. So for those people out there listening, if there's signs that you need to guide you in what do I need to do, or how can I go further? What should I do? The rosary can be a path for you to pray for that and to obtain it, because God wants to guide you. He doesn't want you to just kind of wander aimlessly.
Yeah. Yeah. If God wants you to know something, the way that you can receive that knowledge oftentimes is through recitation of the rosary, receiving that signal grace, right? It's not the case that God wants us to just wander blindly and aimlessly all of the time. Certainly, there are dark nights. There are periods of aridity. Of course. But when it comes to these big decisions, God wants oftentimes to fill us with peace and to fill us with conviction so that we can accomplish his plan with aplomb, with a certain amount of gravitas, with the dignity that's becoming of Christians.
What are some of the obstacles that maybe you find yourself or other people run into in praying the rosary, maybe either through videos that they send you comments, and then how can someone overcome them so that people can find the rosary fruitful in their life?
Yeah, so I think the first thing with the rosary to keep in mind is that if you're bored during the rosary, you're in good company. I think it's Jose Maria Escriva who says that he calls the feeling of boredom during the rosary, he calls it, oh, blessed monotony, right? And the point here is that whenever you are praying the rosary, you cannot measure the goodness or the badness of your rosary based on how it feels. You have to measure the goodness or the badness of your rosary based on the effort that you put in and the intentionality that you had. So sometimes your best effort is just to fight off distractions for 20 minutes and feel like you got nowhere. If that's your best effort, then that is a good rosary. Sometimes maybe you feel consolation, but you're really not trying that hard. That's probably a less good rosary. So the first thing you have to keep in mind is how good your prayer feels has almost nothing to do with how good your prayer is, right? You have to kind of disconnect those concepts in your mind before you're able to really pray the rosary in a way that's consistently pleasing to our Lord. And then the second thing would be a lot of the work for praying the rosary well in a way that's effective and actually going to be transformative is done before you start to pray. Oftentimes people will start prayer like this, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. I believe in God the Father, right? Slow down a second and recognize the fact that whenever you pray the rosary, you're not just speaking to yourself. You're not talking to an imaginary friend. No. You are invoking the Mother of God. You are calling down the ear from heaven of the greatest saint ever to have lived. And you need to take a second to recollect yourself, acknowledge that you're in the presence of the one whom you invoke, and then slow down and pray in a way that is becoming of Christians. One of the things I like to do is just before I pray, or even while I'm praying, if I start to get distracted, I just imagine the Blessed Virgin Mary sitting in front of me on her throne, and I will pray with that image in mind, putting myself in the presence of Our Lady in that way. Or else I will pray and imagine Christ enthroned in heaven, and I will take his foot, lift up his foot, and then put his foot on top of my head in my imagination. And that just is a very sensory, tactile way for you to imagine what's going on spiritually and in reality, right? So that helps a lot of times. One is just recognize how good your prayer is disconnected from how good your prayer feels. And if you're praying the rosary and it feels bad, that's oftentimes actually a good sign. And maybe we can talk about that a little bit here in a second. But the second thing would be, remember who you are speaking to when you pray. If you just do that, oftentimes it fixes a lot of the problems that people have with the rosary right from the outset.
I think that's powerful because I imagine that a lot of people maybe attempt to pray the rosary or even are faithful in doing so, but maybe they think, I feel like I'm kind of just stuck or stagnant, maybe is the word. And I think these can be ways where they maybe, you know, we have that command not to judge, but not even to judge yourself in your own prayer, that there's maybe things going on in that prayer that you're advancing that you're not even aware of.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the beautiful things St. John of the Cross writes about this some. But as somebody progresses in virtue, they will perceive themselves to be going backwards in virtue. So Teresa of Avila puts it this way. She says, the more abundant the light is, the more clearly we see our faults. So the closer that we draw to Christ, the light of the world, the more clearly we see our own sins and our own defects. And though even though we're drawing closer to the light, we're actually getting closer to God, it becomes blatantly obvious how unworthy we are and how many faults we still have to work out. So if somebody feels like in their prayer, they just feel like they're going backwards, right? But they're consistently praying and they're putting in this effort. That may be what's happening to you. You're drawing closer to the light. And so you have more ability to see your own faults and defects. So oftentimes people that are growing in virtue perceive themselves to be going backwards in virtue.
I think that's a super powerful thing. Sometimes I'll imagine it kind of like if you're climbing a mountain or like Mount Everest, you know, the people at the bottom look at the people at the top and think, oh my gosh, they must feel amazing. They must feel exhilarated. But if you look up documentaries, the people up there are just an absolute torture because of like the height and the coldness. They do not feel good. You know, and maybe the people up there look at the bottom and think, oh gosh, I wish I was down there. But that's kind of like going back to kindergarten. You know, you could go back if you want to, but and you'll feel better, but you're not actually better.
Yeah, deceitful beyond all things is the heart of man.
Yeah, true. What are some of the stories that you've shared that you found maybe have impacted people the most in terms of like either from saints or from books that maybe you kind of keep in the back of your mind that like give you that sense of the power of the rosary?
Oh man, one of my favorite stories is from The Secret of the Rosary, and it's about St. Dominic. St. Dominic is, I absolutely love St. Dominic. If I ever become a third order religious, I love the Franciscans, but I'm going to become a Dominican if I become anything. I love St. Thomas, love St. Dominic. They have done incredible things for me in my own spiritual walk. But regarding St. Dominic, there's a story of him casting out demons, and this one man had blasphemed the rosary, and so he was possessed by 15,000 demons. So St. Dominic exorcised him in public in order to strengthen the faith of all the people who were present. And there was a large crowd there, hundreds, maybe thousands of people. And St. Dominic starts to exorcise these demons, and he asks them, who in heaven is the saint who you are most afraid of? And the demons will not answer. They do not lie. They say, we're liars anyway. Why would you want us to say that? We're liars. You can ask the angels. You don't want us to say it. We're liars. St. Dominic presses on and says, no, you need to tell me. Finally, they say, okay, we'll tell you. But just you, we'll whisper it in your ear. We won't tell anybody else. We're just going to whisper it in your ear. St. Dominic says, no, you need to say it loudly and clearly so that everyone here can hear. Who is the saint in heaven who you most fear? Who causes you the most dread and the most anxiety? And so finally, the demons capitulate, and they say that the Blessed Virgin Mary is the saint in heaven who they most fear. And this is where it gets really interesting. The demons, as they're being driven out, they say that the Blessed Virgin Mary is all-powerful. Now, I can nuance what that means, right? All-powerful does not mean that she's the creator of the universe or anything like that. But they say that she is all-powerful before God through her intercession. Mm-hmm. They say that they would have destroyed the church long ago if it were not for her intercession. They say that they have no success against her faithful clients, and those who ordinarily ought to be damned by the regular standards of God's justice through her intercession end up being saved. Now, obviously you could look at this story and say, yeah, that's what the demons are saying. Why would we believe them? But if you look at what the exorcists say whenever they are exorcising demons, the demons under duress, after they're forced, they're kind of beat up in a certain sense. Mm-hmm. Exorcism, from my understanding, is sort of like a boxing match. Mm-hmm. Go back and forth. But after the demons have been beat up and they are weakened, then they're forced to confess the truth under the command of the exorcist. And we have here St. Dominic, arguably the greatest saint of the past millennia. Yeah. He is casting out demons, and in this exorcism, he beats up the demons, so to speak. He drives them out, and they confess these things about the Blessed Virgin Mary. So, under duress, the demons are telling us who is the saint that they most fear. Who is the saint that we should therefore most regard, most reverence, most pray to and beg for graces? It is the Blessed Virgin Mary. So that's one of my favorite stories historically. That one doesn't have to do with me personally. I've never used the rosary to drive out demons. Not yet, anyway. We'll see what the future holds.
Or at least not that you knew of.
Not that I knew of. Not that I was aware of. That's true. Yes, yes.
So it's powerful because I think sometimes you see in Catholics like this fear of evil or fear of the devil or fear of whatever. But I think it's always, we really have to remember that, like, really, we're the bully in the fight. You know, we're not the underdog. And especially if we're aligned with Our Lady, it's really us. This one friend kind of taught me that, like, one of the tricks of the devil is, since they're actually afraid of us, is to trick us into thinking it's the opposite, that we actually have less power, because then we're not as aggressive. We kind of like just stay in our homes and are afraid of what might happen, not realizing that really, like, we're the ones that are a threat to Satan, not so much the other way around, unless we, you know, give in to sin and fall into that.
Yeah, I love that. That was well put. And it's just from the scriptures, right? St. John tells us, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We're not more powerful than Satan, but Christ in us is more powerful than Satan.
Yeah.
All minions combined 1,000 times over. And this is an interesting point too, is people don't realize how unfair the fight is, because your guardian angel, and your guardian angel alone, since he has grace is qualitatively different than all of the gifts of nature. Since your guardian angel has divine grace, he and he alone is stronger than Satan and all of his armies. And this is why you look at the early days of the church with the martyrs. We see children being willing to be tortured and killed for their faith. That's an example of one person with grace overcoming all the best efforts of the enemy, all of them combined. And this person might have been 7, 8, 9 years old. We have many children martyrs from the early church who overcome the devil, the world, and the flesh at a very young age. Children have defeated Satan with the aid of grace. How much more should we as men in the faith be, as you said, to put it your way, the bully in the fight? And we need to be confident in that way.
Amen. I think that's amazing. Tell us about what is it like behind the scenes for you having a YouTube channel? What are some of the ways that maybe Satan has attacked it and your family? Because I always think that one of the signs that you know that you're doing something good for God is if you're being attacked. Like, I'll kind of think of it as like, if there's bullets not whizzing by, then you're not in the battle. And then how has the rosary helped in that battle for you?
Yeah. I think that one of the promises of the rosary also is that those who pray the rosary will have a powerful armor against hell. I think that's been the case. I think many of the demons' attacks and wiles have been thwarted before they were able to come to fruition, because I've been very faithful by the grace of God to saying the rosary daily, and really saying the entire rosary, all four sets of mysteries daily. But I do think that the devil has attacked us in a much more natural way a lot of the time. Yeah. The little things, right? What the devil will try to do is keep you from getting into a rhythm, keep you from getting into a groove, so that everything feels uphill, everything feels hard, right? And there are certain things where it's just, you have a week or 2 weeks in a row where everything goes wrong. The kids don't sleep. Like, our kids are not good sleepers at all. But we've had, last December, we were visiting family. My daughter didn't sleep all month. I don't mean that she slept. She literally didn't sleep all month. We were really actually concerned about her, her health, because she just would not sleep. She was in the absolute worst mood that she's ever been in for a month straight. This was horrible. Christmas was, I don't want to say that it was ruined, but it was certainly less merry than Christmases in the past. And my wife and I got sick on 2 or 3 separate occasions, all in December. So we were literally just surviving in December. Thanks be to God, we were here with family, because I don't know what we would have done if Jess and I were both out of commission sick and our babies were not sleeping and we had no family to help us out. So thanks be to God that we were here. But most of the attacks for me have come from sort of through natural means. I feel like the demons attack health and have been after our sleep for a while now. But the other thing I would say is that the devil knows my own sort of dispositions, and through no merit of my own, but just through the grace of God and through the faith that he has given me, the demonic stuff, it doesn't scare me. It just doesn't scare me. Mother Teresa, there's a story of her. She was laying in bed one night and she was sleeping and she felt a hot breath on the back of her neck. And so she rolls over. She sees the face of a demon right here, right in front of her. She says, "Oh, it's just you," rolls over and goes back to bed, right? Every time I've had an encounter with something that feels demonic, I've seen one partial manifestation maybe, but I've never seen like a demon figure or anything like that. But anytime I feel like I have a close encounter with the demonic, I immediately strengthen my prayer routine. I turn to spiritual warfare. I include more prayers, etc. So the devil knows that he's not going to attack me in that way, because that actually makes me stronger. He's going to try to be more subtle about it, try to attack my family, my health, my sleep, my relationships, that kind of thing. And so I think that's the way that he's tried to get at me. Once again, it's very difficult to discern if something comes from a diabolical cause or if my daughter just had a bad month of sleep medically. That's possible too. But it certainly felt like it was in excess of nature, the degree to which she was not sleeping and the degree to which we, my wife and I, just kept getting sick. We're healthy people. We're sturdy people, right? We're health conscious. We eat well. We just could not get our feet on the ground in all of December. It was tough.
Sometimes that happens like when there's some grace that you're about to be given or something that you're kind of working towards. Was there something that came up at the end of December and January that it was sort of like kind of suffering in preparation for a grace or for something that happened in your life?
That's a really good question. Yeah, St. John Bosco, the demons used to attack his sleep, he said. And he said every night where he couldn't sleep because the demons were keeping him awake, he knew the next day he was going to give a fire homily, right? And those weren't his words exactly, but that's the essence of what he was saying. And that's a really good question. I think that one of the things that I offer up a lot of my sacrifices for, a lot of my prayers for, is that I would have the grace to be able to spread devotion to the rosary, right? That's what I want to do with my channel in large part. And the other thing that's in my daily prayers regarding my channel is I pray that Jesus would wash in his blood all who consume any of the content that I produce. And so those are kind of the things that habitually throughout the course of this past year, as I've been doing this YouTube thing, that I've been praying for pretty much daily, maybe a few exceptions here and there, but pretty strongly daily, those are in my rosary intentions. And I think one of the reasons that my channel has had a decent amount of success, it's not my clever editing. It's not my beautiful artistic thumbnails or anything like that. I think in large part, it's just that those prayers are being heard and answered by our Lord and our Lady. And I think that's kind of what's going on. So anytime I go through suffering, there's never despair, right? There's certainly frustration sometimes. I'm a fallen human being and I have normal human emotions just like everybody else, but there's never despair. And my wife and I like to say there are good times and there are sanctifying times. There's no bad times.
Yeah, that's perfect. I think that's an amazing way to look at life. What are some of your hopes and your dreams? Like maybe hopes and dreams for the channel. Where do you, and maybe some of that is just leaving it in God's hands, but has the Lord put anything on your heart in terms of what to do with it or where it's going to go or anything like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. We're still determining that through prayer, I think, a lot. Currently, I am where I wanted to be a year ago. If you would ask me where I wanted to be 1 year from today on August 1st, right? That's the day we're recording this. But if you would ask me on August 1st last year where I wanted to be, I would say basically here. And so the Lord has been very good to us. The Lord has blessed us. And as far as the direction he wants it to go in the future, it's not necessarily been revealed yet. But I do want to help, regardless of what it looks like in the concrete, I want to help Our Lady to win the final battle over marriage and the family. So I'm hoping to do stuff that's specifically for men that can help them to raise good and holy families that are oriented towards becoming saints, right? The domestic church producing saints. That's what I want to help Our Lady to do. So I don't know exactly what that looks like yet, But that's the vision I have moving forward.
Yeah, you know, for my part, it's just such an incredible, I would use the word like adventure to have a YouTube channel, because you run into so many people, like almost like the videos is just one side of it, but then you're connecting with people that you never, ever, ever in any way, in any normal way that we otherwise have, would have reached, from all different countries, you know, that meet you. And so it's something incredible. I mean, I imagine, like when you talk about kind of men, it seems like the biggest way that they're handicapped is through, like, and you talk about in different videos, like, you know, it's through sins of lust. Maybe that's like even 90% of it, that if just that was taken away, you know, then it's like men would just surge up and start conquering in a good way, you know, for Christ. What are some of the biggest obstacles you see kind of put before men, like maybe Catholic men?
Yeah, so I think that question can be looked at sort of formally and materially. So if you just look at what is the sin that most men commit most of the time that keeps them from becoming saints, it is sins against the sixth and ninth commandment. It's lust, right? But that's actually symptomatic. I think that's more the material side of the issue. The formal side of the issue, what's actually causing the dysfunction in their soul that leads them to turn towards those things as a sort of coping mechanism, is that men, by and large, lack purpose. They don't know what they are or what they are for. And this is one of the reasons that Catholicism is really surging, Christianity in general, but Catholicism specifically is really surging, is because the Catholic Church offers the most comprehensive and satisfying answers to those questions. What is a man, and what is a man for? The Catholic Church can answer that question with an incredible degree of clarity and precision that's much more satisfactory than people who only have the scriptures or only have this or that aspect of religion. So that's one of the reasons we're seeing the surge in Catholicism, especially in America. So I think that formally, the root of the problem is that men don't know their purpose. And then since they don't know their purpose, they say, well, since I don't know what I'm for, I might as well enjoy myself on the way to wherever I'm going. And then that's when they turn towards these sins of lust. So it's a twofold question, right? And I think in that regard.
I think that's profound. I hope that you're able to put a rosary in every man's hand, figuratively and spiritually, and actually for them to find that purpose. You know, I think when I look at your channel, I see that. And I think, you know, because when you put a rosary in a man's hand, I mean, you make him dangerous, because he comes to encounter the love of the Blessed Mother, who takes him to Christ, sins fall away. And that's a huge threat. That's like a really dangerous thing, because then you start affecting change. And when you're busy doing these beautiful things, you're just not even tempted, because you're like, I don't have time to be tempted, because my life is so rich and beautiful. That's what I find. Like, there's so many beautiful things happening that there's not any space for temptation even to enter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. And I think too, one of the things, I'll tell a brief story here maybe about my own YouTube channel and just kind of how I got started. But one of the things that, I'll make this very clear from the beginning, right? I went into online evangelization, ministry work, whatever you want to call it. I went into this YouTube channel with the intention of making more money to better support my family. And then secondarily, with the intention of being able to help other people with their apologetics needs or to overcome lust or something like that. But it's the order of charity coming into play here. I want to make this clear, is that there's nothing wrong with desiring to do something good for your family. And I was working as a teacher at that time, and I married my wife so that she would be able to raise my kids in the faith. That's why I married her, right? I wanted her to be the mother of my children. And just looking at the lifestyle, the availability that I was going to have, the logistics of me staying as a school teacher, I was like, okay, this is not going to work. I love to teach. I love to teach the faith. I was teaching Catholic theology, and many of my best students were young men who I could see were obviously getting results. So I had to figure out how to repackage that skill set that I had, which is a good skill set, which is used for the kingdom, so that I could better serve my family as a husband and father, right? So I went into it with a little bit of a business mindset. But the problem was, I had absolutely no idea how to run a business. I was working as a school teacher, and so it's quite different from anything entrepreneurial. I had a little bit of sales experience in the medical field, but that was it. So for the first few months that my wife and I were doing this, we weren't making any money, right? We weren't making any money. And I went in with the intention of trying to support my family in a way that was going to be meaningful work for me, yes, but also provide more opportunities and more of my time for my children and for my wife. And so I'm going through this, and one of the promises of the rosary is that whoever spreads devotion to the rosary will be aided by me in all of their necessities. So I saw that promise one day, and I was like, okay, well, we need money. We have a mortgage payment. I have one child. Celine's my oldest. She just turned 3. And then we had another baby either on the way or who had just been born, Jude, whose birthday is in May. And so I was like, okay, we got to figure this out. So I started to make videos where I was intentionally, very, very intentionally pushing the rosary, and specifically pushing young men, challenging young men to pray the full rosary every day, all 4 sets of mysteries, all 20 decades every day. So I did that, and I was pushing that in a video a week at least, maybe more, really, really trying to be intentional, sharing my own experiences with the rosary. And through that, and through the intercession, I believe, of St. Joseph, we had several instances where I didn't know where the next mortgage payment was going to come from. We were sweating bullets a little bit. We were pretty low on funds. Our bank accounts were quite low. And so we prayed, and I kept promoting the rosary. And a couple times I woke up to an email saying that somebody had donated $2,000 to us through Buy Me a Coffee. And that was the money we needed to pay the mortgage for next month. Later on, we had somebody donate, I think, $1,400. We had several other, or one other person donate $1,000. So it's just like this money that we weren't expecting just came in from out of the blue. And it was always just enough money for us to get by another month, to just survive until I figured out how to kind of turn on the business aspect of things so that I was able to provide for my family, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that promise of whoever spreads devotion to the rosary will be aided by me in all of my necessities, all of their necessities, has been 100% true in my own experience.
And just kind of to go off on that, it's difficult to describe to people what it feels like to be provided from God through the generosity of other people in that way. It's different than when you work and you make money, because that comes from God too, but like, it's easier to think, okay, I earned that money. With the other one, like, you know, it came from the hand of God. So it's like, I know, like with religion, and many people feel like weird about talking about it, but it's like sacred money, because it grows your love for God. You know, you just can't help but be thankful. You love him more. You see your dependence on him. And then the other person is growing in charity, you know, because that, to be generous like that, it just does something to you that unless you've done it, you don't know how beautiful it is, you know? So it's an incredible experience. You know, that's something that, like, I wish for people listening that they can kind of really get into that and convey just how amazing it is to be in that position that you're in. And then the other thing is, like, so there was someone that kind of made a comment about some of these things, like on one of my channels, and like, I was kind of taken in mind to the scripture verse where it says, like, you know, if you give a cup of cold water to a prophet because he's a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward, you know? So whatever reward you share in for sharing the rosary, those that support you, they share in that. They get to be kind of a YouTuber without being in front of the camera, because they're right there with you, you know? So there's something beautiful about it that I don't know if people ever, like, really go into, like, how deep it is to do that. So for those that support Cameron, know that, like, you're helping spread the rosary. You really are. It really means something.
Yeah, that's well said. Yeah, and I think that this new focus on digital evangelism or digital evangelization or online missionaries, whatever they're called, I think that that's something that's really beautiful, because that is exactly where Catholics need to be, because that is the newest and biggest mission field. The way the church has started to talk about it is the online world, the web, is an unevangelized continent, right? That's the imagery that the church is using regarding the internet these days. And so I think it is important. You know, I'm certainly not going to call myself a prophet, at least not a very good one, or anything like that. But I think that I am going out into the breach, so to speak, and trying to spread devotion to the rosary to people who otherwise may never have picked it up, trying to do what I can to help evangelize that online continent. Because we all know that there's a lot of bad stuff on that continent. There's a lot of filth on the internet that has no business even existing. And so we as Catholics, we have to have a presence there. We have to be able to minister to those people who have been scrolling through TikTok watching garbage for the past 3 years of their life. And they need something that can be a light or an introduction to Christ.
Amen. So Cameron, hopefully everyone here will pray for you. We'll go check out your channel. We'll pray for God's mission to be fulfilled in you. Maybe any last words that you have for anyone listening, or maybe any sort of like to compel, especially like men, because I think that's like a key piece that you would say to them if you had kind of like your last words to leave in their mind and heart.
Yeah, I think that we as men oftentimes vastly underestimate the goodness, the tenderness, and the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to focus on what we're doing. We want to focus on the productivity that we're putting out there for the Lord. And fundamentally, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the divine physician, and what he wants most from you is your own wounds. The reason that so many young men get stuck in the same sins over and over again is they'll say, look, Lord, I'm doing this. Look, Lord, I'm doing this for you. And you have a broken leg, but you won't show the divine physician the broken leg. You just want to show him what you're doing with your hands, which are working well. The Lord wants all of you. He wants all of you, all of it, including your wounds, including the parts of yourself that you would rather hide from him. So if I'm speaking to any young men out there, one of the most common mistakes I see is that people put on a mask to pray. They hide the parts of them that are ugly from the Lord rather than taking that to him first, because that's what he wants. The part that's hurting on you, that's what he wants to see first. That's what he wants to treat first, because the mercy of the Lord is absolutely infinite. And St. Catherine of Siena, in her dialogues, she said that if anybody repents perfectly with true contrition of heart and perfect trust in the mercy of the Lord, God will treat them as if they had never sinned. No purgatory, no punishment, none of that remains. God's mercy is infinite, and it's beyond what we can even fathom. All of the writings of Maria Faustina, all the writings of all the saints combined, are an understatement as to the reality of what God's mercy is. But in order for that to have its effect, we must be vulnerable with the Lord, show him our wounds, and beg him to heal them, because he wants to heal you more than you want to be healed. So I'll just close with that.
Amen. Let's close with a prayer then.
Beautiful. Do you want to lead, or should I?
You could lead.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed and Immaculate Virgin Mary, we ask you to cover us in your mantle, cover all the viewers of this video in your mantle, protect them from all the assaults of the evil one, and give them each the graces that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has intended for them to receive through the watching of this video. Saint Joseph, we ask for your intercession under the title of Saint Joseph Most Chaste. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, brother. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. And for everyone listening, have a beautiful day, and I'll see you in the next one.